Over half of all the people in the world now live in urban areas. In the Southern African Development Community, SADC, annual urbanization rates exceed the global average. In these growing cities, shelves and bins in supermarkets grown with fresh and processed foodstuffs. While on their doorsteps, poor households are unable to access enough staples to feed themselves more than once a day. Food may be more plentiful and more diverse in the city than rural locations, but it is far from being equally accessible. This edition of Feeding Hungry Cities, correspondents in Lesotho, South Africa, Zimbabwe and Malawi speak to families about their struggles and strategies for food security. Wade Pendleton is a researcher with the African Food Security Urban Network. After extensive research, AFSAN has found rising food insecurity in Southern Africa's growing cities.
What we found in our survey was that in poor households, many of these households are very food insecure, which means they often don't have food on the table for a meal, or they're not able to eat the quantity of food that they would like to have, and sometimes they skip a day because they don't have food for that day. For many households, maybe it's one meal a day that they're able to have.
For many, such promises of a better life remain unfulfilled. Unemployment is rampant across the region, and without an income, families struggle to purchase food. In the tiny mountain kingdom of Lesotho, food production means only a tiny proportion of the national need. The country imports between 60 to 70% of its food. In 2006 and 2007, the situation worsened even more. When Lesotho experienced its worst drought in 30 years, there was a major drop in the local production of staple maize and sorghum crops. As in many countries, South African prices rose, and because Lesotho imports so much from South Africa, the country experienced severe price hikes. Ntikoane Taule visited with Pulani Nkuala at his home in the Hatsolo area of Lesotho's capital, Maseru.
Can you please tell me about yourself, your family, who you are, and how many children you have?
My name is Pulani Mamueketsi Nkuala. I live with my kids and my mother. She's 87 years old. I live with them here, and no one is working here at home.
What is your food situation like? Do you always have enough food? Have increased prices affected your purchases?
We don't. It's very difficult because there is no one working. We have four renting rooms and we are using one of them. So the money we get from the rent is not enough at all. But sometimes my mother's pension assists us in some way or the other. That is how we live and get money. So it's not every day we have enough food at home. Increased prices have affected us horribly because we don't earn enough money, so the food is very expensive and unaffordable. When we don't have food, we ask from our neighbors for maize meal or anything just so we can eat.
Can you usually afford to eat nutritious foods you want to eat?
Not at all. It's very difficult for us to get such food to our situation of not having enough.
Has your situation changed in recent years?
Our situation has worsened now. Nothing is getting better at all. And food is very expensive. It's not getting any better. Life has gotten worse.
While Lesotho struggles to deal with rising food prices, it is extremely vulnerable to regional and global forces over which it has no control. Bruce Frain is an AFSAM member and professor at the University of Waterloo in Canada.
Certainly global food reserves and food supply has been impacted by a number of global events, droughts, for example, in the USSR, decline in production in Canada. And all of this impacts the price of food as well as its availability. However, overall, the world does produce a surplus of food. So what we have is a situation where food production may in some sectors even be increasing. However, food security tends to be getting worse. And the reason for that is because with this rapid urbanization we have in the region, we see what Mark Revellian at the World Bank has called the transfer of rural poverty to urban areas.
While Lesotho does not produce nearly enough food for its population, South Africa actually produces sufficient food to guarantee an adequate diet for all. Why then is the incidence of urban and rural undernutrition shockingly high in that country? According to Sally Peberti of the Gauteng City Regional Observatory, even in Gauteng, consider considered one of South Africa's most affluent provinces, many families do not get enough to eat.
Last year we did a survey of 16,700 residents in Gauteng. And one of the questions was asking people whether they'd ever have to skip a meal because they didn't have enough food. What was quite disturbing was that in 20% of households that we interviewed had gone without a meal, but in 18% of households, children had also gone without food because they didn't have enough money to buy food.
Philip Mdlalose is a tavern owner in Soweto. In the face of widespread unemployment, the Mdlalose family relies on their own entrepreneurial spirit for their daily needs. Kopano Sibego visited the couple at their Midlands tavern.
We had to do this business because there's no jobs, we cannot get employment, so we thought it would be appropriate that we start this business. Without this business, then it would have meant that we should live on handout.
Are you guys just doing this business as a way of survival, or is it just for fun?
It's survival, because we're talking of a stomach here. You see, an empty stomach has got no conscience. If we're hungry, it means we can do anything. Maybe if I did not start this business, maybe that would have resulted in one either doing crime or if there's no jobs in any way.
On this business, we can buy grocery for that amount. Anyway, we are trying.
Knowing that business has its ups and downs, and the family also grows a few vegetables to supplement their diet. Like many small business owners, they also employ occasional informal workers.
You know, planting, have you guys thought about that?
Yes, we've got a mini garden out at the back there. Maybe my wife can go show you the garden. We've got spinaches there, we've got cabbage and some few tomatoes, because the space is too little, so it's only those three veggies that we have plowed.
You sell them, or is it just for family use only?
It's for family use.
The Mdlalose family's small garden helps to supplement household food with a few extra vegetables. Research shows that agricultural production is not a possibility for most people living in the cities. Only a small percentage grow their own food, and even fewer derive any sort of income from this activity. For Tavanguisa Chigome in Zimbabwe, on the other hand, his riverside plot is a main source of food and income for his family.
I'm able to then sell surplus to other people. That means from this small piece of land that I have, that I'm prohibited from, I'm able to feed not only my family, but maybe 3, 4, 5 other families out of surplus.
Even in Zimbabwe's toughest times, Chigome has managed to make out something from this land.
Zimbabwe is not receiving good rainfalls of late. It's either it's cyclones or there is drought. For the past maybe 10 years, we've been hit by serious drought. But I can tell you that even during 2008, when things were so bad, the economy was not even performing, I managed to get food from this piece of land, and my family survived out of it.
Despite Mr. Chigome's own strategies for keeping his family food secure, his food production success is not the norm. According to the AFSAN research, food purchase is easily the most important item in the household budgets across the region. Almost half of the total expenditure by poor urban households is on food.
Maybe some of the people in the city have got better or good income, but when you add all what you have to buy from whatever money you get, you find that it's never enough. Because you have to pay for electricity, you buy water, you buy firewood, you buy paraffin, you buy food, you buy everything. And with that little money you get, you find that it's never enough. But for the food availability, there's plenty, always plenty of food as it comes from many parts of the city itself.
Malhaji Majid Bakali recently returned to his rural home after many years of living in Malawi's urban centers. He recalls that city life wasn't as easy as many people think.
You may think of, you know, going to a market or a supermarket to buy food. Today you find it on a, you know, a better price, you can afford it, you buy. When you go back in a month's time, you see the difference. You not buy the food you bought on the same price. So that difference, it becomes a problem to you. And there's nothing else you can do. You still need food. You have to buy the food.
It would seem that in the cities, the problem is rarely the lack of food, but rather inaccessibility. But what about government subsidizing the cost of food to make it more affordable? Consumers can undoubtedly benefit from competitive pricing and economies of scale across borders. For the urban poor, price is always the deciding factor. Yet in some cases, cheap imports are strangling local productions. Bruce Murray is a dairy farmer frustrated by the flood of imported milk into South Africa.
There is a shortage of milk, but somehow we are importing milk cheaper than for what we can produce it.
So the government subsidizes the food production. Then as soon as it gets stopped subsidizing, they don't export any milk anymore, and the South African farmer in the meantime is bankrupt and can't produce anymore, so no food security.
They're importing this long-life milk in the boxes. They're importing that from Europe.
Challenges that you have experienced, especially there's a lot of cost and there's a lot of surplus in milk production.
I think just to give up dairy farming.
How long have you been doing this milk farming?
For 48 years. I grew up here. It's all I can do is dairy farming. That's all I know. It's all I can do is dairy farming.
In toughest times, some of the urban poor turn to programs run by organizations or churches for at least one meal in a day. Holy Trinity Church in Bramfontein, South Africa, is a soup kitchen feeding the area's hungriest. They feed about 70 to 80 people daily and up to 100 on winter's colder days. Yvonne Muluelani has been operating the soup kitchen for over 30 decades.
I've been operating the soup kitchen for 32 years. Okay, the number has increased because inflation is very low. People are suffering. People are not working. So every day people are getting out of jobs. And then for them to have a meal, they think of Holy Trinity and they all run here. They hear the news spreading by the others and they all follow to come here.
Advocacy officer at the CSVR, Anna Moyo, sees the problem of food as a human rights problem.
Definitely, the right to food is a human rights issue. When you start from international human rights law, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights actually does give a right to food. We also have the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, which provide for the right to adequate food and the right to freedom of hunger. Also, SADC as a region also does have food security as a concern and also as an organ that is separate that seeks to ensure that everyone in Africa has access to food.
Families are finding their food budget is stretched more and more until sometimes there isn't enough to make it through the week or month. Despite the abundance of food available, going hungry is a reality for people in the region's cities. According to Professor Jonathan Crush, director of AFSAN and honorary professor at the University of Cape Town, the issues are complex and there is no simple response or solution for urban food insecurity.
What is important is that in responding to complexity, we start to think holistically. So we don't just take urban agriculture and just work in that particular issue, or just work on the informal food system, or just work on school feeding programs. We really need integrated, holistic response that both understands the nature of urban food systems, both the formal and the informal, identifies points of policy and other leverage, and actually works at those particular issues. But we do recommend is that cities themselves take stock of their food systems and develop food security plan and plans.
Hunger, African city, people in rows don't want to get home. Month end, money not reaching. 6 more days of an empty kitchen. It's getting late, enough I can take. Enough is enough, I need food on my plate.